luck is a four-letter word. There's good luck and bad luck. Doesn't seem to be a lot of mid-range luck, does there? When you have bad luck, you just change that first consonant and say you got fucked. Funny how the words are so similar.
Hey, how'd Ralphie get that great job?
Right place, right time. Some bitch lucked out. He always does.
Yeah, like my grandma used to say. He'd fall in a sewer and find a diamond ring.
Is luck even a thing? Why do some people seem to be so lucky, and others so catastrophically unlucky? Hang on, we're gonna find out.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Come on, Larry.
Larry.
Larry. Aside from the number 13 or black cats and so on, some superstition is rooted in fact, like walking under a ladder. That's almost never a good idea, especially when some dude's on a high rung swinging a hammer. Accidents happen, especially to those with poor situational awareness who put themselves in harm's way. When I lived and worked in New York, it seemed there was a construction site on every block. Jackhammers and scaffolding, and the city, of course, required them to build shelters over the sidewalk in case somebody did drop a brick from 30 stories up. I never thought much about them, always walked beneath them without a care. Then one day I was hurrying across town. People do walk faster in New York than any other city, that's a fact. And above is one of those plywood scaffold overhangs. Just a few paces in front of me is a woman. And suddenly, from God knows what altitude, came a nearly full tall boy can of Budweiser. It struck the top of her head. That scene, though happening in real time, seemed to unfold in slow motion. As the Budweiser can pistoned onto her skull, a splash of beer spouted from the top. She staggered two or three paces and collapsed, crowned by the king of beers. 16 ounces of beechwood-aged hops, rice, and barley malt. And somewhere high above, a hard hat was going to have to consume his hoagie without the benefit of a frosty brew. A lose-lose for all concerned. After witnessing that unfortunate incident, I tried to avoid walking under construction sites. Those overhangs can be a lot more porous than intended. Of course, luck or bad luck was a major contributor to the woman's misfortune. Think of the synchronous timing needed for that plummeting beer can to meet her cranium. But then, had she opted to cross the street, someone else, maybe me, would have been flattened by that beer. Some years before the beer can incident, there was a gruesome story of a hard hat who fell off an I-beam from a few stories up. The height of the fall could have been survivable, and salvation was nigh, as he was headed for a large pile of sand, which would have cushioned his fall. But then, some jackhole had left a 6-foot pry bar vertically in that pile of sand, like a toothpick topping a club sandwich. The bar went straight up the hard hat's ass, impaling him like a shish kebab. Game over. So sometimes bad luck really is bad luck. Fate is out to get you, and there's nothing you can do to change that. But more often than not, we do have some degree of influence over what some might call luck. When my kids were younger, one Christmas, everyone from my wife's family decided to meet at a resort in the Arizona desert. The place was fantastic. Had everything you could imagine. Golf, tennis, horseback, hiking, 5-star restaurants out there in the spectacular painted desert. Purple mountains at every technicolor sunset. Saguaro cactus. Javelinas running around like pigeons in Central Park. It was magnificent. Somebody thought hot air ballooning might be a fun afternoon's diversion and not too taxing on my father-in-law, who was by then in his late 70s and not in the best of shape. He had to sit out the horseback in more challenging hikes. All any of us knew of hot air ballooning was what we'd seen on TV and in movies, most notably The Wizard of Oz. You stand in the basket, they cast off the tether, and up you go for a bird's eye view. The balloon company sent a courtesy van to our hotel and drove us out about half an hour into the staging area in the desert. When we arrived, there was no balloon. The driver scratched his head and then got on the phone with the home office. Something had gone wrong, and they were hauling a balloon to our location. That did not inspire confidence. After about half an hour, a flatbed truck showed up with a pile of nylon on it. A couple of guys tried to blow it up with big air compressors like you see alongside a bouncy house. Now, as this went on, the van driver, who was also to be the balloon pilot, who was also dressed like Indiana Jones, asked us to all gather around for flight instructions. Flight instructions? What the fuck? There were no seat backs or tray tables to stow in the upright position. No oxygen masks in case of a drop in cabin pressure. What more instructions could there be than don't lean out of the basket and enjoy the view? But no, you don't get to just step into that basket like the wizard. Before takeoff, that basket lies on its side, and passengers have to crawl in, lie on their backs, and heave forward simultaneously to make the thing sit upright. Well, nobody mentioned that circus act when we booked the reservation. Not such a great idea for my father-in-law. He was game, of course, but I keep looking over my shoulder and wondering why the hell the balloon is not only not inflated, it's not even plumping up, not even a little. The two guys start inspecting it, and then the eureka moment. On the underside, they find a tear big enough to walk through. Indiana Jones scurries over to the flatbed. Then he gets back on his cell phone and tells the pilot of another balloon, already somewhere in flight, to cut his trip short and land near us so our party can go aloft. The next red flag. Indiana's going to screw other customers out of some flight time so he can save the revenues he hopes to get from us. Then he hustles back to the group and says, another balloon will arrive momentarily. But we scan that horizon and see nothing. Nothing but a sun that's rapidly descending. At the same time, just like in Los Angeles, which is also in the desert, that late afternoon wind starts kicking up. There's no rudder on a balloon. You pretty much go where the wind pushes you. The only real control you have is altitude. Now all I want to do is get the fuck out of there. But Indiana is so busy slinging bullshit, there's never a moment to get in the word that we're canceling this flight. He says something about time being of the essence. Well, no shit. It's going to be dark in 20 minutes. So then he pulls a bottle of cheap champagne and some flutes and suggests we all recite the balloonist's prayer, which usually doesn't happen until after the completion of the flight. Talk about bad karma. Talk about tempting fate. Before he pops the cork, we inform him we're scrubbing the flight. Darkness is descending. We're not into night flights, so please take us back to our hotel. Ooh, Indiana sees a lot of money evaporating and starts spewing bullshit about horizon refraction and the beauty of twilight aviation. And that other balloon will be here any second. But we hear very little because we're all already piling back into the courtesy van. He realizes it's futile, so he shrugs, waves off the flatbed, gets in the van to take us back to the hotel. We could not stop laughing. It probably bugged him. At the hotel, we headed straight to the bar, where, over many margaritas, we recited the balloonist's prayer, which was etched on one of the glasses my wife had slipped into her purse. Was it theft? Maybe. But Indiana Jones had stolen an afternoon from us when we could have been doing something else. This is the Balloonist Prayer.
The winds have welcomed you with softness. The sun has blessed you with his soft hands. You have flown so well and so high that God has joined you in your laughter and set you gently back again into the loving arms of Mother Earth.
They never got to say that prayer on the Hindenburg, did they? Over dinner, somebody pulled a phone and started Googling hot air balloon disasters. DuckDuckGo had yet to be invented. Holy shit! Those things can be like riding in a bomb. And it's way worse than a plane or copter crash. Seems they always go down in flames. Human flares. It usually happens after crashing into power lines at dusk. We congratulated ourselves on cheating death. But even had the flight been incident-free, it would have been short and dark. So we had no regrets about pulling the plug. Situational awareness is a great hedge against calamity. But what about actively making good luck? Does that happen? Can that happen? A lot of cultures in Asia think so. Well, then there's that old bromide. Luck is what, when opportunity meets preparation? Or is that success? Well, the two are closely linked. Is it shitty luck that makes people losers? Or losers that create shitty luck? Probably a combination of both. Winning or losing can be habitual. It takes tremendous strength and resolve to continue punching after relentless failures. One of my favorite authors is Jack London, a great writer, even though he was a socialist asshole. Some time ago, I visited a museum devoted to him in Sonoma. London was building a castle there. This was in the prime of his success. Being a typical socialist, he spent faster than he could earn and stopped paying the builder. Finally, London sent a letter to the builder. After ignoring many requests for payment from the builder, London answered him with a letter that basically said, "I'll pay you when I fucking feel like it." The castle, which was near completion, mysteriously burned down. All that's left of it is the stonework and foundation. In the museum was a glass display case containing not dozens, but hundreds of rejection letters from publishers. Despite his enormous talent, it took him years to get a book deal. Did London make his own luck? It sure looks that way. He also made his own bad luck by being an arrogant deadbeat. I've never met anyone who considered themselves lucky, but I've known many people who were pretty successful and considered themselves to be positive, productive, and energetic. We all know those Debbie Downers, don't we? People who would bitch about paradise because they don't like the color of the drapes. And they also seem to have the shittiest luck. Nothing ever works out for them. Relationships, jobs, diets. Every car is a lemon. Every shoe pinches. And on it goes. While the positive people rarely, if ever, say, "I have great luck," the negatives will always blame their misery on shitty luck. Gambling is a funny endeavor. There are some who claim to make lucrative livings as professional gamblers, and maybe that's possible in poker, where you're competing against other people. But anyone who claims to be ahead over the long term against casinos or racetracks is simply full of shit. The house always wins, period. I discovered that truth the hard way, and you can hear how in episode 50, Larry Beats the House. That's in the October 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. But is there a gambler that's really, really rich? Not a few million bucks, but billions. No, that kind of wealth is never sourced by luck, only by guile and creativity and work. Love or hate Bezos and Musk, they did not inherit their fortunes or win them on a dice roll. They made big money, the biggest money, the only surefire way. They figured out what people wanted and gave it to them. It's always been the open, secret formula of success. I knew a guy who didn't quite call himself unlucky, but he refused to accept that basic truth about giving people what they want. He had a lot of talent as an artist and a craftsman, but he only built and drew stuff that he liked, and his personal taste was narrow and weird. For years, he would show me drawings and paintings, and they were very good, but nothing I would want framed and hanging in my home. One day over lunch, he said, "I don't get it. I always thought there must be people out there who share my aesthetics, who would want to buy what I do." I told him that there probably were. But what was his plan for finding those three people? He laughed. He got what I was saying, but he continued to create for himself and sell nothing. And that's okay. At least he didn't blame his lack of success on bad luck. But what about those people who do seem to have crazy, unusual luck when it comes to games of chance? Maybe the luckiest was a woman named Joan Ginther, who won four big, big lottery prizes totaling over $20 million. Incredible, astronomical luck, right? Wrong. Joan had a doctorate in statistics from Stanford. She mostly played scratcher tickets, where there are guaranteed wins, same as a slot machine, to keep the suckers hopeful. But those small wins helped offset losses, and she plowed them back into more tickets. For some reason, she focused her play in Texas. She never gave an interview, kept a super low profile, even had friends collect her winnings. It's estimated she spent not thousands or hundreds of thousands, but over $2 million on tickets. I rarely play the lottery. Seems the only time I do is when the jackpot is some nutty boxcar number in the hundreds of millions and people are lined up around the corner, gas stations and liquor stores to buy tickets, huh? Which makes me the same as every other schnook. On any given week, the prizes are in the tens of millions, but who needs chump change? But $500 million, well, that's real money. Meanwhile, the odds of winning may be better when fewer people play. The motivation is not just the money, though. It's the fact that it's easy money, huh? Look at all this jing I won, and I didn't have to do a damn thing. Who doesn't want that feeling? And for those pure dumb luck winners, that's what they get. Did Joan Ginther get that feeling? Probably not. For her, it had to have been a full-time job. In Texas, most of those scratcher tickets are $2, $3, $5. Even at the $50 ticket price, it takes a long time to buy $2 million worth. That's work. Some also believe she found a way to game or possibly cheat the system. I certainly hope so. Anyone who fucks the state is a hero in my book. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to the show page at thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. And while you're there, be sure to click the subscribe button so you never miss a show. Doesn't cost a thing. One of the most downloaded episodes ever is also about luck and cheating fate. That's episode number 11, How Larry Cheated Death and You Can Too. That's in the February 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. It contains the four magic words that often separate winners from losers. I've got a growing collection of pictures from listeners who are displaying their magnetic LUTFA stickers on their trucks, cars, and so on. What's a LUTFA? That's the acronym that transcends all political parties, politicians, and governments. The most basic desire of people who value freedom, LUTFA, leave us the fuck alone. That message is directed at the ASTCOs, assholes seeking to control others. Long after Let's Go Brandon is forgotten, in the footnotes of history, LUTFA will still be relevant. If you want to show your membership and support for LUTFA ideals and this show, you can do it. Go to thatlarryshow.com and scroll down a little and see how great they'll look on your vehicle, refrigerator, stove hood. They're weatherproof and only $10 each, or three for $25. Just click the PayPal button and be sure to mention the word LUTFA with your order. If you want access to dozens of bonus episodes, where we sometimes get more personal and contentious, click the Patreon button to unlock those. Follow the show on social media between episodes. We have a lot of fun there. You'll find links for all of them at thatlarryshow.com. My friends, luck is mostly self-engineered. Bad luck is usually triggered by some S's, huh? Carelessness, drunkenness, and lack of awareness. It tends to visit fast and leave us dazed, injured, broke, or dead. Good luck usually takes longer to happen. It also springs from some other S words, huh? Smarts, sweat, stick-to-itiveness. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.